This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
How bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little last season flatter sheet on me, honey.
John Callio, can you go around with me?
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty, I can't stand it anymore.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for him.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is Brokeback Mountain.
What does it feel like when you're dancing?
Dunno. Sort of feels good. It's sort of stiffing that. But once I get going, then I, like, forget everything. I sort of disappear. Sort of disappear. Like I feel a change in my whole body. And, like, there's fire in my body. Just there. Flying. Like a bird. Like electricity.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, where already there is not a dry eye in the studio. Alan and Gina, how are you?
Very good.
Oh, I feel like a bird. Being hit by electricity.
We are, of course, looking at the wonderful cinematic world of dance this evening. So everyone's got their tap shoes on.
Yes.
Well, I've got my ballet shoes on.
Well, do you know
can't you see the tutu?
I always thought you'd look rather dashing in the tutu, Alan. You know, I was thinking if my life were a dance movie, it definitely would not be hip hop. It would not be jazz. I'd be all about the ballet because no one seems to have fun in a ballet movie.
We were joking off here. It's not Black Swan, is it?
Yeah, hopefully not.
Not Black Swan. Well, Natalie Portman, you're not the Natalie Portman character.
Am I? I'm certainly not Mila Kunis.
No. Well, definitely not Mila Kunis. No, but still, no, you can't be Black.
Well, I'd totally be Jamie Bell.
Jamie Bell.
Yes.
Okay. In Billy Elliot.
Which is what we just heard a clip of. Okay. And it is a film that we'll be looking at later in the program. We're going to be looking at some of our favorite and some of the most queer dance movies. Yeah. Billy Elliot is definitely up there. But we'll also be looking at some other classics like Fame, Sing in the Rain, Strictly Ballroom. Ballroom. There's so much to work with here.
Yeah.
So many. So Gina, what if your life was a dance film, what would it be?
Other than Zorba the Greek, I think. It's just the Greek thing. I don't know. We were talking about it before, and I'm thinking, actually, it's more musical, but it's probably Sister Act. That and a bit of Spice Girl movie, because I'm very Baby Spice. On a good day.
And on a bad day?
Sporty.
Sporty, okay. And Alan, you?
Well, you know, I have spent most of my life under a mirror ball. So
Saturday Night Fever.
I'm going with Saturday Night
Fever.
Yeah,
of course you are.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to go Greece just because I love that. Oh, yeah. I love that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but, good stuff. Good stuff.
You know, Saturday Night Fever, Greece. Think about the music in these films. There is something about the music. And, of course, you know, we only have an hour. We're not going to have time to play everything. But there's, you know, there's so much to work with. Like this. I'm turning it loose. I'm pulling loose. Kick out the Sunday shoes. Now, you'll note that this is not Kenny Loggins who did the original, and it's not Blake Shelton who did the remake.
Mm. Who is it?
I'm ashamed to admit that this That was actually The Collective. Do you remember X Factor a few years back? They put together this boy group. I really like their version. And actually, it's on my...
And you're telling me that Strictly Ballroom is Daggy?
Yeah, I think this is a secret shame night.
Moving on, what about this? Oh, there's just so much to work with.
In Crazy Stupid Love, when he lifts her up to that song, like seriously, Ryan Gosling, even I kind of fell for him in that film. Don't you remember the scene?
In
Crazy
in
Stupid Love.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Alan's confused because he's thinking Dirty Dancing.
I'm thinking Dirty Dancing. You have totally shifted. I'm just thinking Baby in the Corner.
From Dirty Dancing that Ryan Gosling uses.
Can I say, I saw Dirty Dancing on stage and I did not enjoy it.
No, I don't think.
But look, the film's a classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As is Flashdance, which has given us one of the best film theme songs, I think, of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I love this song.
Yeah. I can see you in leg warmers, too.
It's so cheesy. Yeah. That
we should be recording this, because his feet are kind of tapping.
If only we had the video camera.
Well, this is Irene Acara with What a Feeling. Your fear seems too high, deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears full of pride. In a world made of steel, made of
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, where we have plunged into the world of dance. And that was Irina Cara with What a Feeling from Flashdance.
Oh, I'm a bit breathless. I've been dancing around the studio. That was such a great song.
You joke, but you actually were. That head was moving backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And no wonder. I mean, it's Academy Award winning song.
And lip syncing as well.
Oh, we'll cover that later as well.
So Academy Award winning.
Yeah, definitely. Academy Award winning. Now, the reason that we're looking at dance this evening, it's not because we love that song, although that's true. We do love that song.
And Jennifer Beals. Yes. It only gets better with age.
Cinema Nova. They've just released Mr. Gaga, a brand new documentary. And Alan, you sat down with the filmmaker.
I did. Toma Hammond, who is an Israeli filmmaker. And he produced a documentary about this Israeli choreographer.
But he's quite an icon in Israel, isn't he?
He is an icon, a cultural icon as well, because he stood up to censorship from the religious majority, I guess, and simply refused to be censored and walked off during stopped a performance during the Israeli Jubilee. Wow. And as a result of that, that caused an uprising really of the community who felt oppressed by the religious minority constantly chipping away at their freedoms. Truly remarkable, and that comes out in the documentary. They do focus on that. So
this is yes. Mr. Gaga. Oh.
He's yelling at you
during the performance.
You're boring me.
She would just jump on him and he would act passionate.
To mourn a big loss and to dance, they don't contradict each other. I dance every day and I want everybody to do it.
Do you want to dance?
That is Mr. Gaga, which is opening at Cinema Nova. Well, it actually opened just a few days ago.
Yeah.
So, and it's a pretty good documentary.
It is. I think it portrays the life story, essentially, of Ohad Narayan, who is the choreographer for the Batsheva Dance Company, which
10
is a
points
world
pronunciation world there.
Is that good?
Yeah. We're both.
Do I pass? So the Batsheva Dance Company is world-renowned, fantastic dance company. And
they were here in Melbourne last year, weren't they?
They were here in Melbourne for the Melbourne Festival. I actually went to see the performance, funnily enough.
Yeah.
It was simply stunning. And it was called The Last Work, and that comes out.
Did it feel like electricity?
You know what? It definitely did at the end. Like at the beginning, it felt more like a flat battery. But towards the end, it was an explosion. It was amazing. It was definitely electrifying. I left the performance euphoric. It was definitely euphoric and an amazing high that came off of it. So I can understand why the filmmaker wanted to make a documentary about this choreographer, because his work simply is electrifying.
Well, of course, when you sat down with Tommy, you started by asking, who is Mr. Gaga?
And so Mr. Gaga is...
Well, this is what Tomer had.
I thought you were asking me, but anyway, we'll ask Tomer.
Well, Tomer's slightly better placed, although...
Yeah.
Well, this is what Tomer had to say.
Who is Mr. Gaga?
Yeah, who is he?
Mr. Gaga, officially, it's Mr. Ohad Narin, amazing choreographer that inspired my life, but I think also many others, people who love art and love dance. Basically, his name is Ohad Narin, but 15 years ago when he created his body movement language called Gaga.
Why did he choose a name like Gaga?
Ohad Narin asked his mother, "Hey, ma'am, what kind of words I say when I born did I call father?" You know, in Hebrew, say Abba.
Yeah, Abba.
Oh, and she smiled for a while. She didn't answer him. Mm. And she told him, "Ohad, for so long we wait to you to say Mama and Papa, but you refuse to say it. The only word that came out from your mouth, Gaga."
Well, it's fascinating to hear the background. And I'm intrigued to understand why he calls it a dance body movement language.
It's not coming from an intellectual place, you know, reading books or theory. It's come from the essence of life, that you hurt yourself so badly and you bring yourself back to dance. And then later on, he's still dancing till today.
So he's used dance as therapy. He uses the power of dance to heal. And I think that comes through at some point during the film where we see Gaga classes, which I'd like to talk about a little bit later on. But I'm interested in why you chose Ahad Nahrayan, if that's how you pronounce his name, and the batch of a dance company for this film. Why did you choose them, and what was the driving force that compelled you to spend 8 years of your life?
Why did I choose him
to develop this film? Yeah.
And, you know, I spent more than 8 years in my life and all my money and all my hair that now is gray, and it was for a while black before the movie.
I think it's still quite black. I've seen photos.
For me, the romance, the love affair, started in 91. We are in 2016. Yeah, it's 25 years ago. Only when I was 21, when I moved to Tel Aviv, and I got a phone call from someone from my family, and she told me, "Hey, Tomer, I just came back to Israel from Europe after many years, and I started to work with a guy, his name was Ohad Naharin. It's 91. I say, "Who is it? What is it?" She said he's a choreographer that basically worked in New York, but now he moved back to Israel, and he started to work with Batsheva Dance Company. I say, "What is Batsheva? It sounds to me like from the Bible. What is it, a Bible company?" She said, "No, it's a modern ballet company, and he's doing a new piece called Kir. In Hebrew, it's Kir, which is in English, it's wall. And I have a free ticket for you, Tomer." I went there, no expectation. Man, I went out from this place, and I was a different person. I came one Tomer. I don't know even how to put it to word. I came one Tomer, and I went different Tomer. I was flying. I was
transformed.
On a high hill.
You were transformed.
Yeah. I was transformed. That's the word. It was so powerful for me, and it hit me so strongly. It was dance with rock and roll, with it full of sexuality and energetic.
It's euphoria. You were euphoric.
This format of art, this medium of art, dance, flew me, took me to the top of this. Ah, wow! I was not able even to breathe.
So he awakened something really powerful in you, and I guess that's why you devoted 8 years of your life to telling his story and painting a portrait of this remarkable man.
I said to myself, "Wow! I wish that one day I will create a movie about the man who created this piece." Okay.
Well, Alan, that was your interview with Tomer, the director of Mr. Gaga, which has just opened up at Cinema Nova. And it's so interesting listening to him describe dance as electric, as euphoric, because isn't that exactly what Billy Elliot said dance is?
Hit it right on the head. And I have to say that this director is truly obsessed with this choreographer.
Because we've just played like 3 or 4 minutes of your chat with him, but...
Yeah, Tomer was a very good talker. He actually talked for quite a long time. And I learned a lot about the film.
A couple of hours?
About the choreographer. Yeah, over an hour and a half. So to get it down to 3 minutes is a true editing art. Well done.
Thank you. But no, it really does remind us, and this is why film is so wonderful. It reminds us of the power that dance has, a transformative effect. And clearly, for this director, it really did change his life.
Changed his life. And for him, it was also a healing aspect because he suffered a major depression. And Ahad does this Mr. Gaga body, this dance language as therapy. It is therapy. And they give classes. And so he went to this and his life was transformed. So hence the doco.
Funnily enough, here's a segue. I think Billy Elliot really does kind of pick up those themes as well. You know, for poor Billy, it is electrifying, but it's also transformative as well, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. His life is transformed and so is his family's.
Yeah.
We have been waiting to talk about this film. We're so looking forward to it, and it's right on the other side of this.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was out. I was dancing when I was out. Dance myself right out the womb. I dance myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon?
That is T-Rex with Cosmic Dancer. You are listening to Joy 94.9. and the opening track from a little film made by an emerging filmmaker, Stephen Daldry, back at the
2000. 16 years ago. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I can believe it, actually. The film, of course, is Billy Elliot, which is... It is perhaps our favourite dance film. Oh, I think that's probably fair to say.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Yes, I've got the script in my hand.
You do?
I've got the DVD as well at home. I absolutely love
it. It's just... It's such a nice film. It really is a nice film. And they just... You know, I feel like they don't make films like this anymore.
No. Oh, it's definitely a feel-good film, but it's coming out of such a really difficult historical time, and I think that's why people can relate to this period of time, because it was during the Thatcher coal mining strike
in the
and
UK.
Out of just absolute despair and poverty and grief comes Billy, who can still find light and still is beautiful to his grandmother and beautiful to his gay best friend and just... fills us with electricity.
And,
I'm just going to keep going back to that.
And Jamie Bell, can we just take a moment to pause and note how wonderful he is in this role?
Inspired.
He's just so expressive.
Yeah. And like, he was 14 when he played this when he played this character, but he was actually playing an 11-year-old.
Mm. He looks 11 in the film.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, I kind of thought that he had... That he did kind of look a bit prepubescent, but
very innocent.
But
such maturity to that character. So well.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those films that is a milestone. It's almost a marker in your life. And it's something, like, for me, it's not just one of my all time favorite dance films, it's one of my all time favorite films, full stop.
Mm. Do you know, that's really interesting because we know that one of my favorite films of all time is The Hours, which again is directed by Stephen Daldry. That was his next film. And then he went on to make The Reader, and he's going to be making Wicked, which is now scheduled to be released in 2019. So he's a very exciting filmmaker. I think he's one of the best filmmakers in England at the moment. And this was his first feature film, and wow, what a film.
God, you know, there's one scene there where Billy Elliot is kicking down the door. This is what Stephen has done with this film. He's just definitely kicked down the door, and it's explosive. It really is. It's, I'm here, boom. And he pulled it off.
But also, I think there are some really important meditations on what it means to be a man in this film, and what it means to be an individual, and you know, navigating that journey through adolescence, and those ideas about identity and manhood. And I think this film really explores those issues in a really nice, heartfelt, warm way.
But also in the way that it deals with the gay best friend who cross-dresses and Billy's just beautiful acceptance of his friend. I mean, even though uses the P word to kind of describe it, but it's just that kind of, that smile. Like, so when his best friend kisses him and he doesn't beat him up or kind of react to it. In fact, he reacts to his father, to stand up to his father for his beliefs.
Well, there is that wonderful scene where the father kind of yanks him out of class. And we should actually note that Julie Walters is the teacher.
Brilliant.
Isn't she great? Yes. This was the crowning achievement of her career, I think.
Absolutely.
Can I say that? Mamma Mia was good. She was great in Harry Potter, but
Reader? Was that her? Anyway.
There's that wonderful scene in this film where he does kind of confront his father.
What's wrong with Billy?
What's wrong with Billy?
It's perfectly normal.
I used to go to Billy.
See?
Aye, for your nana. For girls. Not for lads, Billy. Lads do football or boxing or wrestling. Not friggin' Billy.
I don't see what's wrong with it.
You know perfectly well what's wrong with it.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you bloody well do. Who do you think I am? You know quite nicely.
It's not just puffs, Dad. Some ballet dancers are as fit as athletes.
From now on, you can forget about the fucking ballet. You can forget about the fucking boxing as well. No, from now on, you stay here and you look after your nana. Got it?
You know, Billy Elliot in this film, it sort of took me back to my own childhood when I would think back on my own childhood watching this film and thinking, if only I had the guts at times to actually stand up for myself in the face of adversity from my parents or from older people. And that's why I look back on Billy and I look back on that and think, if only I had been like that as a child. You know, it's kind of... He's a role model in ways and inspirational.
He's the true adult out of all the characters
from his
brother, and he's taking care of his grandmother. And, yeah, he's the most mature character out of all of them, because everyone else is messed up. From the dance teacher and the relationship with her husband.
But it's not even that. It really does juxtapose that kind of era of it was an era of depression, essentially.
Yeah.
And then here you have this boy who's willing to stand up for what he believes in and achieve great things when everyone else around him is downtrodden.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there's such resonance in what he does.
And, you know, there's that letter there from his mother when she exhorts him to be yourself. And do you know what? And I think he's listened to that, and that's what comes through. He's true to himself. He's a bright flame, and that.
And you were saying that when you saw that scene on stage, you nearly had a meltdown.
Oh my God! Well, you know, there's the ghost scene, and when they came to Melbourne, when they had the musical, there's a ghost scene where his mother comes out, and I actually went with my mother to see it. It's a thing that Mum and I do. We go to musical theatre, and geez, I can't tell you. It was. Oh God, I was a mess. When I rewatched Billy Elliot again, I think I was in tears all the way freely flowing down my face.
And even that gorgeous final scene, I mean, we want to see him dance. We want to see him dance, but it didn't matter. Just to see him fly through the air in that final scene, and we're with him going forward.
Actually, when I first saw this film, I was very young. Obviously, it was 16 years ago now. So I would have been 13 or 14. And there was something about this scene that really unsettled me. That very last scene, I found it deeply unsettling.
In what sense? Was it a bit dark?
I think it was just the realization that, like, he'd actually achieved what he had set out to do and was so different to the rest of his family because of that. And for me at that time, there was something really confronting and unsettling about that.
Whereas the moment I love best in that scene is as he's getting onto stage, and it is the reaction of the other dancers just ready to take him in.
Yes.
It is them just holding their breaths to watch him perform, not the family, not his best friend.
Well, it's moving from one family to another.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That was my favourite moment.
Yeah. Well, I want to pick up on something, Alan, you said about, you know, somehow these films resonate so well on stage, and there's that real relationship between what happens on stage and then, you know, how that's represented on screen. And one of the films which has a real time-honoured history of kind of mediating that relationship is, of course, this film.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above.
Oh, I had such a great time revisiting this film.
Boys, you both look beautiful in the joy moonlight. Can I just say?
Loved it. Oh, thanks, loved Gina. It.
And I love the idea of you doing the dishes to this film too.
I was jumping up and practicing. You know when you do that sidekick and nearly killing myself in the process. Yeah,
we've all done it. It's great. We've all done the sidekick.
I'm going to keep practicing it until I get a bit higher, just off the floor a little bit. I might need an umbrella.
Well, the sheer athleticism in this film is amazing.
It is. And do you know what? I think an interesting bit of trivia, Donald O'Connor, who plays Cosmo Brown, who is...
Gay.
Gene Kelly's gay lover, you know, unspoken gay lover. Because he's really singing about Donald here, but actually, he at one stage there was one of the scenes that they were filming. It was so physically demanding that he was in bed for a week afterwards.
Wow. Heard about this? Yeah,
and of course, something actually happened to the film that take. Was destroyed, so he had to do it again.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, Nicole Kidman broke a leg in Moulin Rouge. So, something about dance.
Literally broke a leg.
Yeah, no, she seriously broke a leg.
Can I quote Cosmo now? She can't act, she can't sing, she can't dance. A triple threat. Clearly, I love Nicole.
No, Nicole can do all of those things. I love her.
I'm with Gina on that one. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay, you know. We're talking about Sing in the Rain, actually.
Well, Debbie Reynolds, it plays the female character, the female lead in this film. And oh, God, can I tell you, she's so young. She's only 18 years old in this film and almost unrecognizable as the more mature woman she becomes when she plays Tammy. And that's another famous musical, but...
Well, my Debbie Reynolds reference is Will and Grace when she's playing Grace's mother. And, of course, she looks nothing at all like she does in this film.
No,
it's like watching Angela Lansbury in the picture of Dorian Gray.
That's so true, yeah.
But this is a hilarious film. Like, I forgot how much I love this. This is one of those films you watch on a Saturday afternoon if Jerry Lewis or Elvis isn't on. And I forgot how beautiful and how romantic. Okay, there are parts that are kind of drag on, so you can bend down and load the dishwasher while you're watching it.
Yeah.
And I think it was the scene you were talking about when they do the kind of outfit change.
Just this
stuff?
Random fashion montage.
Yeah, it was just a bit weird.
What? It didn't really have anything at all to do with the film. Like, I'm going, what is this here?
I think it's got something to do with the old Hollywood kind of style and glamour. But there is, you know, something about this film, the old Hollywood-ness of it is so incredibly camp. And it kind of even transcends camp to just plain kitsch, really.
Yeah, it is definitely kitsch. And part of that kitschiness, I think, is the fact that we're jokingly saying that Gene Kelly's character, Gene Kelly's friend, is his gay lover. But it's apparent, isn't
it,
Gina?
It's clear. I mean, the opening scene when all the heartthrobs and their beauties are arriving to the premiere, which sort of sets up the story, and it's a film about a film about a film kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, Cosmo arrives and he's there with no one on his arm, and they're just happily waiting for Gene and his kind of semi-girlfriend to rock up. Like, it's like I'd love to see this redone now, and you know,
well, it's just been on stage.
But is it a modern take of this? No,
perhaps not.
No,
I didn't see it, I must admit. I have to say, rewatching this, Gene Kelly was like an awakening. Like, wow, I did not remember him like that.
So you Googled, so you went to Google Images and Googled Gene Kelly, did you?
No.
Shirtless images of Gene Kelly?
Is that what you did? No such thing. Thank you very much, Anne.
We've all done it.
Did
anything even come up for that?
Yeah. Well, no. I don't know. I mean, like, you did it. Did you spot any?
Oh, my God. I think on that note, it's time to say you're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, where we have plunged into the world of queer dance cinema.
And Dancing in the Rain, all those actors were definitely a triple threat. They could sing, they could dance, and they could act.
Well, I can do all of those things.
I cannot. In the shower.
I do generally attempt it, yes.
And, you know, that brings us in quite nicely into Fame, because Fame is a story about a performing arts high school, and all these guys are really trying to become the triple threat. Yes. But it becomes obvious that not all of them are even a single threat.
Well, if you were a single threat, Alan...
What would it be?
I
reckon the most fun would be acting.
Really?
I think that would be the most fun. You get to try on different characters and be
costumes.
You know, different costumes and behave in ways that you wouldn't ordinarily behave. But I think what calls to me, my calling, would be music.
I'd love to be able to sing.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we can get you some lessons. You've got a beautiful voice.
Look, this is an iconic film, is it not? So 1980, Alan Parker, who made Bugsy Malone, he went on to make Evita, The Life of David Gale, not a musical, but an excellent film with Kate Winslet and Laura Linney. But he did this in 1980 about a bunch of misfits, really. It's that classic story arc about a bunch of misfits thrown together who have to kind of find their way. And they do. And it was revolutionary, really, for its time, especially the way it dealt with some of the queer themes.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's one scene there where there's a young black dancer who
now this is your sexual awakening, wasn't it?
Auditioning. And you know how we're talking about how dance can be electrifying. Well, I can definitely say I was electrified all over some parts, parts more than others. But I have to say that was probably one of the most erotic male dancers dance scenes that I have seen. It's from 1980.
You're stumbling.
I am stuttering.
So this is the original one, though.
This
not
is the original
remake.
From 1980.
So they did remake it in 2009, and Megan Mullally was in it, singing, of course. But no, we're talking about the original because it really was new and fresh. The way it kind of handled some of these queer issues.
And there was one character who was the son of a famous stage actress.
You're talking about Montgomery?
Montgomery, yes. And Paul Montgomery, his audition, he's actually talking about his relationship with his mum and just how non-existent it is and how excited and how happy he was that he got to spend two whole days with his mother. And it comes out that he's spent his whole life being analysed. And I think that,
well, there is that chilling scene where he kind of does have that monologue. This is how it goes down.
I thought I was just going through a stage. That's what everyone told me. And it never worried me when I was 10, except they told me the same thing at 12 and 14. So finally, my analyst leveled with me. He said it was probably a life choice. It's funny. Gay used to mean such a happy kind of a word once. Not that it bothers me. I mean, never being happy isn't the same as being unhappy, is it?
It's really quite heartbreaking, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Mm. You know, sad, lovely character. Poor Montgomery. Mm. But it's incredible, you know, a film about a performing arts high school, and there's only two gay characters.
In New York.
In New York.
Last week we looked at Paris is Burning. This is just...
But there is... They weren't even obvious.
But, I mean, it's queer not just in the fact that they're... You know, there are some gay characters, but also they're all queer, aren't they? I mean, they're all kind of on the fringes of society, and that's, you know, what this story arc is about. You know, we've seen it time and again. You have all of these characters from the fringes of society drawn together. And actually, interestingly enough, there are so many kind of jazz, hip-hop kind of dancing films that we're not really looking at this evening that kind of mediate a similar storyline because for some reason hip-hop's...
It's that rise above. It's, rise above everything.
Which, again, is
else.
Billy Elliot.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Billy Elliot. Yeah.
And they're all chasing the dream. Every single one of these is all chasing the dream to better their lives. They're all chasing fame.
Yeah.
Well, there's that wonderful scene where Montgomery, who we just heard from, is kind of sitting with his friend Doris and they're having a chat about how to kind of acquire fame, you need to be different. And here she is saying, well, I'm not different enough. And, you know, it's a really cute little scene.
Why? Oh, why?
Oh. I'll try this again, Doris. It sounds kind of phony.
No, I don't want to try this again, Doris.
But there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah, I know there's nothing wrong with me. That's what's wrong with me. Everybody else here is colorful or eccentric or charismatic, and I'm perfectly ordinary. I don't know why I'm here.
You want to be an actress?
Yeah, but actors and actresses are colorful, flamboyant beings. I'm about as flamboyant as a bagel.
Hi.
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 Some people like bagels.
I like bagels.
Yeah, and, you know, the poor thing, she's a peahen surrounded by peacocks. You know, it's hard being the peahen.
I don't know, this quote seems to come up in every one of our shows lately, but the line about, like, heterosexuals being, like, persecuted and discriminated against, it feels a bit like that, doesn't it?
She is being persecuted.
For being normal.
For being normal and boring and plain and beige.
Aww, that's nothing wrong with a bit of beige.
No, but, you know, only on walls.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound. And I don't know if I'm being fooled, don't know if I'm being wise, but it's something that I must believe in, and it's there when I look in your eyes. Love is in the air, in the whisper of the tree. Love is in the air.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, where it just got a lot cheesier.
Well, if you were alive in the early 90s, then you would have seen this film. That song gave it away.
The song is, of course, Love is in the Air by John Paul Young. The film Strictly Ballroom, which a rising filmmaker by the name of Baz Luhrmann made in 1992.
Who's he? $3 million.
$3 million.
$3 million film. Yeah.
Wow.
Budget of $3 million.
Shoestring budget. Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe it's his best film.
I'm not going to agree with you there.
I have watched Strictly Ballroom many times over the years. And I haven't watched any of his others that many times.
It's just for Paul Mercutio, isn't it?
And his hairy chest. Yeah.
Oh, it's very Ken doll, if you ask me.
You know, and he looks great in black pants.
I also wanted to note that it was Naturi Norton who sang the Fame remake song that we heard just before the break. Couldn't get
that
the name out.
It's a good version, actually.
It is a great version.
She corrected. That was very cool.
And she's one hot lady, Naturi. She is. Yeah, we looked her up in the break. She was great.
We do look good.
Strictly Ballroom. I mean, this, of course, came to our stages not so long ago. And I have to say, I actually really enjoyed the stage show. I know it got kind of critically panned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. I think the film lent itself really, really well to a kind of on-stage adaptation, which is interesting because actually all of the films we've looked at this evening have had kind of stage counterparts.
Yeah. And you know what they say about stage musicals? It's all about colour and movement. Well, you couldn't get more colour and movement than Strictly Ballroom and those fantastic ballroom gowns and the sequins.
But I think actually the film came from a stage play, didn't it? Originally, wasn't the original story or idea from a stage play that Baz had been a part of, and then they made it into the film. Hence, why it could tie.
Do you know what, Gina? I'm going to take that as a comment.
Might need a fact check on that, and I'll look that up.
But watching it again, and I'm very struck by the remarkable resemblance that Barry Fife, who is the president of Australian Dance Federation, and his striking resemblance to Donald Trump.
No.
This two-page blonde hair and this, you know, heavily tanned face, and it's like Donald Trump. But anyway, I have to admit
that did not occur to me. Look, for people who aren't familiar with Strictly Ballroom, it is one of Baz Luhrmann's defining films, and it really is a farce. It really is cheesy. Yeah, it really is camp.
I don't think it's aged well either.
Really?
No. Or maybe that's how I felt about the film when I saw it originally. Look, it is a feel-good film. You're not meant to sit there and, you know, it's not Billy Elliot where I'm going to feel like my life has changed and I tear up. It is a silly rom-com. It is that, but, yeah.
Well, this is Strictly Ballroom.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Samba!
He had the world at his feet.
Come on, number 100!
He had the moves.
Flashy, crowd-pleasing steps.
He had the magic.
I keep asking myself why. Did I fail him as a mother?
He had the music.
The pogo pogo.
Rudy Rumba.
Tango, please.
The one thing he needed was a partner.
Stay calm, Liz. Stay calm.
Piss off, Liz. I'm not dancing with you till you dance like you're supposed to.
I thought that what they danced was wonderful.
Hi, Liz, I thought you should be great.
That was unexpected.
What's wrong with me? What is so wrong with the way I dance?
I want to dance with you.
The rum is the dance of love.
I want
You know, I love this idea that somehow you're dancing wrong. It seems to come up in so many films. Just think of Happy Feet, you know, where this penguin was kind of pushed to the fringes because he just wasn't dancing right. And then, of course, at the end of the film, you know, the penguin, like Paul in this film, you know, becomes the kind of, I don't know, great dance.
That's right.
Help me out.
He becomes the leader. But the another thing that I liked about this film is the Australian language that comes through and the Australian voice and just the accent. I just love the accent, the Australianness of this film. It definitely speaks to me, and it's also got a great message, this film, which is it says in Spanish that I can't speak Spanish, but the true message to this film is a life lived in fear is a life that's half lived, and I think that strikes a chord with many of us.
And it is a theme that seems to resonate through all of the films we've looked at this evening. Billy Elliot, Fame, you know, all of these films are about rising up against the odds, defying ideas about gender and sexuality, and really just having fun.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what these films are about. They're fun, aren't they?
For sure, and I think we've all practiced in front of the mirror the Paso Doble.
Oh my gosh! Is this like we've all looked up topless pics of Gene Kelly on Google?
Alan's shame now.
Okay. We've all seriously wanted to run across a ballroom and just skid across on our knees and spin around in a bolero jacket.
And I must say, I've never had that fantasy.
And Strictly Ballroom just really, you know, personifies and exemplifies that. I now know that I don't have to do it myself. I just have to watch the film.
Well, look, on that note, I've had a blast. We've listened to some great music, but that's it for another episode of Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.